Hello, so this is Evan Matthews with another catch-up episode intro. This is actually episode number 55. We mislabeled it and we talk about it as number 53, but that is wrong. It is actually 55. This was recorded right before Thanksgiving in 2018, so definitely still catching up. If you've been listening, a couple episodes ago, I said no excuses. We got to get all these episodes that we've recorded up and posted. It's been a little bit. Again, we've been deep into post-production and launching our series on Yarn, which is now live. And actually, season twos have just wrapped up and season three is launched next week. We're going to do a special episode all about the Ascension series, but we'll also put a link into the show notes so that you can jump in there and binge and catch up and see all this great stuff that we've been working on, which we're super, super proud of. This episode, we're going to talk about casting. We're going to talk about plot. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that we were in the middle of back in November. And then I'm going to share way too many Hujima flips. I have a whole list of them in this one. It's a fun episode. It's a long episode. So enjoy. And we will be back with fresher stuff very soon. I promise. We are still recording. So I'm going to try to get a couple up a week so that we can make up the distance and get back to a more real-time schedule. Anyway, here you go. Episode number 55.
Take two.
Let's try again.
We've left the machine one, shut us down this time.
Yeah, we had started, but
we were happily rambling, and then it
stopped.
Yes.
So welcome back to Mythmakers again.
Yes,
Adam.
Evan.
Episode 53. So yes, we've been on a little hiatus here, mostly due to filming the last few weeks.
Exactly. Shooting stuff for Yarn,
which we'll talk a little bit more about. But welcome back to Mythmakers, a podcast all about storytelling, the process, people, and power of story. I am Evan Matthews.
I am Adam Martin.
We are M2, and together we have over 40 years of experience developing, creating, and delivering content across a wide variety of media.
Yes. Vast array.
Stuff that we do.
Yes.
It's fun. It's definitely fun. So let's start with a quick update about where we've been. So we've talked on several previous shows about this, you know, kind of rather large-ish project that we're working on for platform called Yarn. So still not officially announced.
hasn't popped yet.
But we have been producing a ton of content for the Yarn platform. All live action, all interconnected. So I don't think we've said before, but we will now say that we're basically building a universe for the Yarn platform, which is a lot of fun. So it's multiple storylines that all intertwine and ultimately connect.
Yep.
Which is fun. This is one of those things where, you know, we've talked in the past, you know, kind of internally about like, oh, I think we know how to build these sort of, you know, Marvel style
bigger worlds,
interconnected universes. And so it's kind of fun to actually prove that we can, that we actually do know how to do that. And now, being pretty far into it,
we shouldn't sound quite so surprised.
You know, definitely. You know, honestly, not surprised, but just the proof in the pudding, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
So you know, being pretty far into it now, and very much being in, you know, we've shot a bunch of stuff. We're in post production on a bunch of stuff. We're writing the last little bit, which will be the kind of
setting
big,
the 2 days
the big
for that.
Crossover. So, you know, it is very gratifying to see this thing that started off as all these things do as sort of a kind of general idea or concept kind of.
So, hey, wouldn't it be cool if.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
Exactly. Yes. And then, you know, having it be real. And so, you know, I've spent the last, 2 weeks now around shooting, also, you know, putting all this stuff together in post. And we've got a really phenomenal visual effects artist on board now. And so, you know, putting some of that stuff together, as well as just kind of, you know, editing and doing the post-production on all these bits and pieces.
Post audio, all that stuff.
Exactly.
It's involved.
And it's very fun to see these things actually work, you know. And again, not to sound actually surprised, but
You know, there is this sort of magical moment of seeing this thing that we've written actually come into existence with actors.
And especially with great actors. A lot of really good talent.
Incredible talent attached to this stuff. And we can't wait to actually say who some of those people are.
Yes, very cool.
But we've been very fortunate with the cast that we've been able to pull together. And just the quality of the performances across the board have been
very fun.
Absolutely. And it goes back to that, you know, kind of thing where, you know, I definitely feel out of this process, and again, not a surprise, but it's like, you know, if anyone out there is kind of looking at, you know, putting their own project together, you know, I can't reiterate enough how much the directing process is impacted by the casting process.
Oh my God.
You know, casting really is, you know, As much as anything, in fact, it's the single.
I've had several directors say to me, it's the single most important thing is the casting.
Absolutely.
If you get that right, then good casting will turn mediocre dialogue into great
television. It's so true.
And poor casting will take great dialogue and mess it up. Yes,
absolutely. And we've seen a little bit of both. So it's been it's been great. And just, you know, one of the things that I, especially going into the post process, have been blown away by is, you know, not only good actors turning, I hesitate to say mediocre dialogue, because I think generally our dialogue is pretty good.
Decent, but
but I think what is astonishing, especially in this format, I think we find, and I certainly feel that, you know, the actors who are the best, and we've got a handful which are just tremendous, and just watching them being able to carry a scene.
Oh my God.
And especially, you know,
because we can't cut, which is interesting.
And that's going to say, like, in this format, everything is a single take. You know, there's almost nothing that, you know, is traditional coverage or sort of the way that you would approach a traditional TV show. And so, you know, watching great actors really carry a scene just on the strength of their performance and on their ability to kind of deliver the emotion or the information or, you know, whatever those things are that need to be delivered, and to do it just purely through the strength of that performance is really astonishing. And it really does shine an extra light, in my opinion, on just what the strength of that craft is in the hands of someone that really knows what
they're doing. Somebody skilled, exactly. And I think you do also, what's been great, because we did go Screen Actors Guild for this project, is being able to get all these terrific actors rolling in for a few hours.
Yeah.
That's because it's fun and it's entertaining and they like the look of it. And, you know, so there's person after person to person with kind of hundreds literally of credits, their name.
Yeah.
Being willing to come play ball. And I think, and I love that. And I think it is the fun of something new and interesting.
It is. And it's been fun watching a number of these, you know, highly credited character actors, you know, come in and kind of, you know, wrap their heads around kind of what this is. And it's different than anything they've ever done before, and kind of figuring out, like, oh, this is how this format works.
Yes.
And this is how we're shooting it. And, you know, the little bit of adjustment period of kind of wrapping their heads around that. And then all of a sudden watching that kind of light bulb go off and go like, oh, this is what this is, and this is fun, and I can kind of play with this and, you know, do something interesting here. And just the magic that happens in that process has been fun.
We had an older actor who's been around for a long time, knows, you know, total pro, knows his stuff, and was definitely perplexed by the whole setup. And then, actually, after a day of filming, kind of totally relaxed into it, totally engaged.
Just got it.
And was just suddenly a fan, and was coming up with great suggestions. And, hey, we try this. How about this? Look at this. All of which is fantastic.
Yep. You know. And then the other thing, which is, I will say, directorially been fun through this process, and it was very intentional, but it's like going into these scenes and into these shoots, you know, very much saying, like, you know, we really don't care about the letter of the script at all. It's really about, you know, it's like the key moments, the key beats, and then just, you know, make it your own.
Exactly.
And again, just finding that, you know, skilled actors can just kind of do that and take this material and just make choices
so quickly.
Exactly.
And they're strong choices. They know that they're carrying. They can always pivot. But it's that ability to walk in and nail his this thing, his yep. this person, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Yeah, so it's been great, and we really cannot wait to be able to say what it actually is.
I know. So, my goodness me.
So we do hope to be able to reveal that in the next couple of weeks. We're meeting with our production company and the yarn folks over the next week or so post Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and hopefully we'll be able to talk about release dates and those sorts of things coming up very shortly. Mm-hmm. But very excited to start sharing some of this stuff with the world at large and making you all fans of this world that we've created. So it's lots of fun. So we're through the final bits of the kind of singular story.
Main stories. Exactly. So we've basically wrapped up the seasons 1, 2, and 3 and all of those, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
And then we're now into writing and then planning, prepping for the final kind of crossover event where we bring a lot of these characters together and sort of reveal the big Machiavellian plans that we've
set up cycle 2.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So kind of, looking forward to what that might be as well. So good stuff. So we were thinking we would talk a little bit about plot as the sort of main topic for this evening. And just as a precursor to that, I think, what comes to mind immediately for me is a quote from Seth Rogen, actually, in a podcast that I listened to a little while ago, which I thought was a great way to think about plot, which is that, in any story, there's really two things going on. There is the plot itself, which is sort of a sequence of events which happen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the what are you actually trying to say as a writer?
Oh, interesting.
And that those two things are not necessarily the same thing.
Always, of course.
In fact, very much often not the same thing.
Right.
And so, while both are important, it's also important to recognize that those two things are also, kind of distinct, coexisting at the same time.
Yeah.
So, Adam, when we talk about plot, what comes to mind for you? What are the kind of touch points or thinking?
I think for me, the biggest thing is this came about partly because having seen the latest Harry Potter, not Harry Potter, but the Crimes of Grindelwald.
Right, yes.
Which is basically one big plot hole.
Put that on the poster.
Yeah, I can't quite think of anything that happened organically. So I think it's and there was a very funny review I read on the kind of BBC website saying, J.K. Rowling has made $1 billion with her books and she's made another $1 billion with her movies. And so no one's really going to say to her, we might want to work on this a bit. Because to her great credit, she has a fan base.
Yeah. She's built the world.
What I think the biggest thing that, we'll circle back around at the movie, I think the plot wise, it's that feeling that your plot and story need to be driven by your actors and by the characters playing.
Yeah.
Not by events kind of happening to them randomly, step by step.
Yeah.
Even if each of those events moves them forward,
yes,
you don't want to have that sense that, all this stuff is just happening to this character.
Well, I think, that also makes me circle back around to the idea of coincidence, right? So I think, I think centrally it's like, plots that work tend to feel like it's organically driven by the conflict between characters.
Yes,
and plots that don't work tend to feel like it's a sequence of events that just happen to
contain these people around
these characters.
Yes,
and so it goes back to that notion of coincidence. I think this is something that we heard on the Script Notes podcast, which we're big fans of. Which is, it's like you kind of get your one coincidence
exactly.
for free.
I was just saying the same thing. Yep.
And then past that, everything has to be driven by the character.
Exactly.
And I think, that's something we actually do pay quite a bit of attention to in our own work, both in the Dead Town series and this mm-hmm. yarn stuff that we're working on and the other projects that we're working on.
Trying to really have the action driven by the characters.
By the characters, exactly.
The characters kind of buffeted by the action.
Exactly. And so, actually using Dead Town as an example, we just recently were breaking the story for the next bit of season, the first couple acts of season 2, which will be coming out on Macroverse shortly. And, very much kind of there's a master there is sort of a master plot. Like, we know where the all this story yes. goes. Like, we know
we map that out from the beginning.
You know, this yep. whole thing, you know, we kind of have an ebb of a map and an ebb and flow for kind of how we get from point A to point yes. B to point C all the way to the end of this entire story arc. But then what's been also really fun is being flexible along the way so that, you know, as we write each episode, and then as each episode turns into an act and each act turns into a season,
yes.
you know, we also are kind of finding things along the way, which go like, okay, so now we know that this character would do this or this yes, character would exactly. not do that. And that mm-hmm. does affect the plot. It affects, yes. you know, how do we still are going to end up at the same ultimate destination.
One hopes.
But probably. But how we get there, you know, may change a little bit based right. on finding those things along the way. And so it's actually one of the things I love, you know, have come to love, you know, the more writing that I do and that we do. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I found the most actually rewarding, both in Dead Town and in this yarn work that we've been doing, is there are, you know, sort of the thing that I think is actually really interesting and may speak to some of the things that we see that don't necessarily work as well is where it feels like the creators are pushing through those plot points
exactly
without finding their way. And it's a weird way of saying it, but I think, you know, from my own personal experience, it's like there are times where we'll actually hit a point where like, okay, we know we need to get to this place.
Yes.
But the way we're getting there doesn't actually make sense anymore.
Any sense. Yep. Exactly.
And so that means we need to take a step back. Mm-hmm. For me, that sometimes means I need to go for a walk or a run.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, just kind of reevaluate, like, you know, okay, we still want to get to this place, but how do we get there in a way that feels natural and organic right. and driven by character as opposed to ham-fistedly
exactly. you know,
driven by us as the
throwing
writer.
Zombies at them, exactly. for example. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think when you can find that, that's where the process actually does feel somewhat magical. I mean, for me, those are the moments when it feels like
it flows and it's just yeah. exactly. It's you and the keyboard and
yeah. yeah. Or you know, it's like there are definitive times where I can absolutely say, like, you know, I don't even know where that came from. It's just like
right.
it just showed up. It's like mm-hmm. you know, whether you know, you hear other people and reiterate, it's like, you know, the characters talking for themselves, or
yes.
you know, for me, it's sometimes it is that walk or that run where I go, oh my god, like, this is the solution, and it wasn't
exactly
at all something that was planned out ahead
in
of time
your,
but it
right.
was, you know, it just shows up as a result of like, here's this problem that needs to get solved,
yes,
and this is how these characters
how
are
they
solve
can
that problem.
Go about solving it, as opposed to how you can solve it given what you
yes.
know
yep.
As an audience member.
Yes.
Which exactly. becomes its own kind of thing.
Exactly. So I think the message here is go for more walks or runs.
Yes. Oh, and I do think that, like, that physical simulation is funny because my son, Evan's godson, is now
Indeed.
Being homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so my wife has been working with him on grammar and various other things. And they'll stop, you know, 20, 30 minutes into a conversation, and they'll jump up and they'll run around, they'll throw the ball, and he comes mm-hmm. back. And he's always kind of 20% sharper.
Yes.
Coming off the back of one of those micro breaks.
Yes.
Than he was going into it.
Well, I have so many, like, one of the things I do is I go for the, you know, I hit a wall with something, and I do, like, my go-to is to, like, go for a walk or a run. And it tends to yes. be, like, the run tends to be the thing for me, personally.
Oh, really?
And it's, I think it's something about, for me, it's like, there's this weird thing of, like, knowing what this problem is that needs to be solved. There's like, here are all these puzzle pieces.
Yes.
Not quite seeing how to put them together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like going into it, knowing what the problem is, not seeing the solution, and then unplugging from the thought process.
Interesting.
So I take my phone with me, or my Apple Watch with me. And I have a little, so this is a sneak Hujima flip, but I have a little app on my phone and my watch called Just Press Record.
Yes.
And I have right. so many Just Press Record notes, which
just
is audio
going
notes,
to your watch.
Which is talking to my watch out of breath, going like, oh my God, this is the answer.
Everyone else staying well away, as you might imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is this sort of, you know, this procedural moment of, of, like, you know, kind of lightning hitting. And what's funny is I always think, like, oh, like, I'll go back and listen to that. But it's somehow the act of doing that tends to create enough of an imprint to then go back to the keyboard and just kind of find the next thing and kind of solve the problem that way.
Yes.
And it is, it's hard for me to describe it as something other than somewhat magical, but it's this, you know, just sort of natural progression of, you know, kind of here's the problem and then let the solution present itself. But I think going back to that solution being something that, you know, again, is driven by character.
Yes.
By what these characters would do in this situation to solve that problem. Exactly. Rather than myself as the third party, you know, as the third person narrator.
Trying to push your creator
pushing my agenda to get to, you know, the next plot point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Which is not healthy.
Doesn't necessarily work.
No,
often does not work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is, and it's that juggle of having the plan of attack and the overall arcs for these characters and what the season involves and where do they go and what's the nadir and how they rectify and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's that odd combination of having all that stuff in place with allowing the cast to improvise and have fun and in a way that you just mentioned.
Well, and in a very prescient, you know, kind of current moment, it's like we realized with this yarn stuff that we're working on, we had a very specific structural plan for the end of all of this.
Yes.
And all of a sudden realized about a week ago, like, wait a second, that doesn't actually make the most sense with kind of how this is all unfolded. And so we've had to kind of rethink that and now need to go repitch that to our partners at Yarn. But we think we've got a much better, you know, stronger resolution to all of this that makes more sense, that serves the characters better, that actually sets up phase two of this, you know, universe better. This
combined universe,
And ultimately will be a stronger, you know, way to come out of this and into hopefully the next piece of it. Right. So it's, you know, I think it's just this, it's the constant evolutionary process. I think you just have to be, you know, continuously open to and willing to kind of pivot and and continue to tweak.
Yes.
And in doing so, hopefully gives you the strongest ultimate product.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And it is that, I think, you know, where it does get interesting as well is, you know, you were talking about having the character speaking for themselves.
Yeah.
And it does get interesting because I think we've had this a few times where the character will go kind of left instead of right.
Yes.
And it's like, wait a second. No. I really want you to go right now. Like, that doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just strange.
Or, you know, in that regard, too, it's like even sometimes it's small things, too. I mean, in Dead Town, we realized, you know, there are a couple of moments where, you know, we realized, oh, like there's some backstory that we know here that needs to be inserted at a particular point. Or in the most recent part of an episode that we just wrote, you know, it's like, oh, like we have an opportunity here to, you know, kind of expand on the world that we know, but that we haven't shown the audience yet. This is the moment to do that. And so again, it's just sort of this, you know, kind of being willing and open to, you know, we're still going to get to just this next point, but you know, take advantage of this moment in the story to, you know, let the audience in on something that we know that they haven't learned yet.
Exactly. And then it's also the kind of thing, what's nice, you know, it's with the comics, but with having a slightly more relaxed writing cycle, is you can then go back and fix holes.
Yeah.
So obviously what Matt Weiner was doing on Sopranos, which I learned about at the time, but you know, what they would do, they would shoot the entire season and spend kind of cut everything, and then they go and spend a week or two of pickups and drop it in over the course of the series.
So you mean David Chase on The Sopranos or Matt Weiner on Mad
Men? I'm sorry. Chase on The Sopranos. I'm totally wrong. David Chase on The Sopranos. So he, you know, that idea of making sure every thread is connected is amazing.
No, to have that opportunity is fantastic. Yeah, and that is something that
obviously requires intricate plotting, and yet it still works completely because the characters are, you know, doing what they do.
Yes, Absolutely.
No, that's very cool.
Yeah. So I'm curious, like, you know, you've been ensconced in Black Monday world.
Yes.
So in this context, like, where do you see that playing out kind of on the TV side?
TV side, I see it in the serialization of even comedies now. We were talking about this a bit earlier, just in lieu of something that we're kind of starting to pitch. You know, most network comedies are very procedural. It's, yes. You can drop in, you get, here's the goof of the week, and then how do you resolve that thing?
Yes.
And that, it's a very network approach, and it works, and it makes for a very easily resellable product because you can tune in and out. Doesn't always make for the best television. So, you know, what a lot of the cable providers are doing is the, you know, serialized comedies. And then, so we're hitting this with Black Monday. So it's incredibly intricately plotted.
Yes.
And it really is this thriller. And it's all up, this part of it's up online. And so the show, you know, there's a body that hits a car in the beginning of the show, and you have no idea who it is until the last kind of act of the final season.
Yeah.
Of the final episode.
Yeah.
And so it's just this, it is this, you know, you're working towards this goal of who is this dead body?
Yes.
But the way it gets there is all over the place, and you lose track, and this thing's this, and this thing goes over here. And it just works very, very well. Yeah, because it has two very bright people driving it forward.
Yes.
And still getting the humor and getting all that stuff too. But it is, in terms of the setup, in terms of a show that has a setup that they have to pay off, I feel like maybe that falls into the kind of one coincidence you're allowed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? So this one thing that happens that sets everything, the MacGuffin, that sets everything else into motion, you know, that requires an intricate understanding of what that event is, how they got there, where do they go from here? Like, that stuff's got to be planned out, because otherwise you can't pay off these.
So very much thriller that moments, kind of, like, you know? We know we're going from A to B to C.
Yes.
And I don't know how much, you probably can't say much about this, but you know, I in that particular context, it's like, that's an incredible example of being flexible in that, you know, it's like there was one particular outcome which was planned, and then, you know, along the way I realized that, oh, this actually
this
needs to be something,
work, to
something
be
a, little,
exactly.
a little different, which is going to be a
it's
whole
be
thing.
Very cool.
For those that don't know, by the way, Black Monday is a new Showtime
Oh,
series.
Sorry. Yes, it's coming out in the new year.
Yes.
Mid-January, so it'll start. It'll be hitting the press.
Starring Don Cheadle, and if you haven't seen the trailer, which is up online,
God.
It is probably the best TV trailer I've seen in years.
Yes,
it is
it's
so electrifying.
The trailer was amazing.
So
the pilot is one of the best pilots I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's exceptionally good.
Yeah. So go find that. It is well worth the,
well
the
worth
few minutes.
Out.
And
yeah.
I you know, I will go on record here saying I think this show is going to be a monster
massive hit.
Yeah.
I think a critical success too. Touch wood.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yes. Sold all over the world with lots of residuals.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. totally selfish. Yes.
Yes. It's
great.
It's fantastic.
And it's an example of a show that works very, very well, because all the twists and turns happen entirely kind of organically within it.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
No, kind of great.
Yeah, very, very much so. So I can't wait to see it. I encourage everyone else to see it. And fun to kind of you know, hear a little bit about what's happening behind the scenes occasionally.
Exactly. Yes. Well, watch the occasional behind the scenes.
Connections, people. Connections.
Exactly.
So good stuff. So I think that would kind of be the thoughts on plot, I think.
Mm-hmm. At least the beginning discussion. It's obviously far more intricate.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you look at, it's funny, there was a book I read years ago when I started writing called Good Scripts, Bad Scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually gone hunting for it again, and I can't find it.
Mm.
But it basically takes, all right, here are half a dozen really good movies, and here's why they work.
Right.
There's half a dozen terrible films, and here's why
they
don't
work.
You know, that's just very, very educational. But one of the ones he highlighted as being a great script was The Usual Suspects.
Mm.
but it's that irony of it's a great script, and there are these big holes in it in terms of Kaiser Sose and when he appears, and he leaves behind, everyone knows who he is now. And it's, there's some parts of this film that don't work as well as they might, but overall, obviously, it's exceptional. And has this very convoluted story that requires resolution in a very specific way.
Yes.
And yet they manage to get there and make it seem real, which is amazing.
Well, weirdly, it's funny, I hadn't thought of this in these terms before, but I'm going to posit something which may be completely false just off the top of my mind here. But I'm going to suppose that you can get away with plot holes, including incredibly gaping and, you know, completely nonsensical plot holes when what you're saying works and when what the characters are doing works.
Yes.
Whereas when you might have an airtight plot, but what the characters are doing and what the message of the story is not working, that ultimately is an unsatisfying experience.
Yeah, doesn't work. No, totally doesn't work.
And so I think that is an area where, as important as plot is, it's not the most important piece having something that is satisfying as an audience, which is interesting.
No, very cool.
Yeah. Question for you, sir.
Yes.
What is a huge flip?
Well, I feel like it's just whatever's top of mind at the moment. So I was like, yeah, that thing, that huge flip.
That thing you're thinking
about.
The
thing we were going to be doing, but we're not.
Exactly.
Yes. So, the huge flip of the week, specifically what is top of mind. Now, I have to be said, we're sharing an iPad here, and I'm looking, the emphasis on Hujuma Flip, it is not plural, it is not Hujuma Fly.
Well, we have discussed this in the past, so Hujuma Flips, Hujuma Floaties.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you get six, seven?
You're not supposed to. I'm gonna cheat more than I ever have tonight. And we can call just a couple of recommendations or remembrances as opposed to just strictly Ujima flips. But I have a few things to mention in this category. So one is, we were just speaking with your daughter. We both are the proud recipients is not quite right. The proud owners of new iPad Pros.
Oh, I thought
you
were going to say daughters.
Well, we are both the proud owners of
these
daughters.
Two girls. Yeah, that's very funny.
Very much so. New iPad Pros are fantastic.
Yeah, very, very cool.
And so we were just talking about drawing programs. And I just, have to kind of shout out Procreate, which is what I recommended. And something that I use on a very regular basis. So as a mobile, drawing, device studio, whatever you want to call it. So the new iPad Pro and Procreate, amazing combination.
Yes.
I was saying to Kira, your daughter, that, I actually prefer Procreate to Photoshop or just about anything else. Like, it's pretty much my go-to as far as digital drawing at this point.
And there's just some exceptional stuff on there too.
Yeah, some exceptional stuff.
Some very cool stuff.
And just screams on the new iPads, which are beautiful and wonderful.
Oh god, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then a couple of other things I wanted to mention. So this one came to mind because I do have some medication that I take on a regular basis, and so one of the things I found that has made that something that I remember to do, because I tend to get very focused on all the stuff that we're working on, and the minutia of life sometimes falls to the background as a result of that. So I found this app about a year ago called Streaks.
Oh, yes. What are we doing about that?
And so that is primarily the way that I remember to take these meds that I need to take, but it's also a way that I track other activities, like getting a certain amount of exercise, or even some more mundane things in life, like taking out the trash, which my wife very much appreciates. it's a hot button issue for her. But it basically gives you up to, I think, 12 different things that you can track.
And then set the cadence for
and
ways then again.
Set the cadence for. Mm. And so, you know, for me, it's become a very handy way because it's also, it's on my phone, it's on my iPad, it's on my Apple Watch. And so, you know, I get these sort of very specific notifications,
yep.
but also just a very quick way to go like, oh, did I do this thing? Yes, no. And if it's yes, I, you know, tap on it. And if it's no, right. I go, oh, I need to do that
thing. Go and do that. Right.
And so it's a very quick and easy way to just kind of manage this handful of tasks that I need to manage on a daily basis.
Right.
And just eliminates the thought process or the stress or concern about making sure that, you know, again, these sort of handful of things are getting managed.
Yes.
And just as a side note, I would say, you know, what I've found is that, you know, life in general comes down to, you know, these sort of handfuls of tasks that need to get handled. And so, yes. you know, that is both the, you know, the medication or the taking out the trash, but it also covers, you know, one of the things I have in my, you know, certain number of times per week that I need to accomplish in the Streaks app is, you know, a certain amount of business development or a certain amount of creative work. So, you know, being able to just know like, okay, like I haven't, or I have, you know, accomplished X number of these things on a weekly basis, like it keeps me kind of accountable to myself. And then, you know, the reason it's called Streaks is because, you know, you get to a point where you're like, oh man, like I've got, you know, 100 of these. I don't want to go back to zero.
Exactly.
and so that does create a certain amount of, you know, internal intentional kind of pressure to like keep it going.
Right.
You know?
Of course.
So I found that to be very impactful. On a more pop culture note, I just watched a movie on Netflix called Cam.
Okay.
One of the things I found strangely, I think neither of us have been particular fans of horror movies in general.
No, I would totally agree. Yes.
In fact, you know, for me, it was probably my least appreciated or watched genre for the majority of my life. And so strangely, now that we have a zombie horror series and a lot of this yarn work that we're doing has a thriller or, you know, edging on horror component to it. You know, I found myself kind of being more interested in watching more, you know, kind of horror thriller stuff. You know, I'll call it research, but also it was just sort of like, oh, let me be more familiar with the genre that we're working in.
Right.
So Cam is an interesting movie. I would definitely recommend it. It's familiar, clearly like kind of low budgety, sort of Blumhouse-y kind of vibe. It's about, you know, cam girls. So it's, you know, these sort of, you know, the, there's a segment of the porn industry, which I know nothing about, obviously, which are, you know, these women that, you know, are kind of live streaming whatever they do to an audience.
Interesting. Okay.
And so this, the movie takes place like in this world of, you know, these girls that are live streaming themselves to, you know, particular guys and they're getting, you know, currency, and they have rankings on a board of like who's the most popular. And so it's this one girl who's trying to kind of get to the top of the boards, and it kind of becomes this weird kind of techno thriller along the way. And with a sort of weird AI kind of paranoid vision of the future kind of component to it.
Right.
And you know, it feels very Blumhouse-y in that it's, you know, kind of low budget, but doesn't feel low budget, but just kind of obviously a smaller contained story. It's also notable in that it's, you know, it's taking these sort of ideas of exploitation around sexuality and, you know, these girls that are kind of, you know, you might think are kind of, you know, debasing themselves or doing things that they might not want to be doing, but kind of switching that around a little bit, and that the main character very much is, you know, kind of using this as a way to take control of her own life, and then that gets taken away from her.
Yes.
And so it becomes a sort of weird psychological revenge thriller of her trying to regain or take control of her life again. From something that's been taken from her. So it's an interesting film and definitely enjoyable and definitely available on Netflix. So
love that.
Recommend checking that out. The other one, which was recommended to us by a mutual friend as we were starting all of this yarn stuff, who's also one of our actresses who we cannot wait to announce, is a movie called It Follows.
Yes.
And astonishing. So again, like in the genre, which I would never have gone and, you know, kind of searched out on my own, but really compelling, really kind of spellbinding in for what it is. And so again,
interesting,
sort of very contained. The basic setup is that there's this sort of supernatural, thing, mm-hmm. which is literally following you to kill you. And it's sort of analogy is not the right word.
You can do it off the back kind of
mm-hmm. It's a sort of a
metaphor
for mm-hmm. STD. So it's sort of like right. sexually transmitted. And if you can pass it on to someone else, you can kind of get rid of it. But what's interesting is that if it kills the person that you've passed it on to, it then comes back to you and sort of goes back down the chain,
right.
Picking right. off one person at a time, and just really, again, sort of compelling,
terrifying.
Terrifying.
Yes.
But it's funny. I didn't actually find it particularly scary as much as just sort of.
Oh, interesting.
Just in a weird way, thought provoking. But also, there are a handful of sequences in that film which are among the most, visually imprinting,
mm-hmm.
I guess, yep. of just about anything that I've seen. There's one in particular, which is just like, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it, kind of moment. And a very interesting choice, both directorially and from, I'm sure, a screenwriting perspective of like, just using a couple of very simple cinematic techniques to create this very, my words are failing me at the moment, this very, I'm really not able to talk at the moment, but it's this steadiness of it that makes it scary. It's not that it's coming to get you. It's that it's this kind of inescapable,
resolute, following, right.
coming. Like you can, it walks, you can run. It's only going to walk,
right.
but it's always going to be coming.
Yes.
And that in and of itself is kind of psychologically impactful.
Yes.
So definitely.
I can see that. Yeah.
Definitely recommend that. And then I finally, as my final Hujuma Fly.
Final Hujuma, exactly.
And the ultimate Hujuma Fly, just a shout out to Stan Lee.
Yep. So,
Stan Lee passed away this past week, 95, I believe. Mm-hmm. And for a kid growing up, reading comics, loving comics, especially those early Spider-Man books and, all the things that he was either responsible for single-handedly
right, exactly.
or else very much, part of the creation of, it's kind of astounding to think that, in a weird way, as much as a Walt Disney or a George Lucas or, any of those people have had an impact both on my life personally and also in the larger culture.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Stan Lee is someone that, you can certainly debate the amount of credit that he deserves for, Spider-Man
yes.
or Doctor Strange
that
or
universe,
any of
yeah.
those things mm-hmm. compared to the artist who also played an incredibly important role.
Yep.
And there's, there are different points of view on, kind of who deserves the largest amount of credit for those particular creations.
Yes.
But I think what is undebatable is that Stan became the face of comics. And really, I think is the only person that became kind of the brand ambassador for comics in general.
Okay.
And I think his greatest creation was actually Stan Lee. I mean, he was,
wow.
He became the person that the average, especially now, the average, consumer of media goes like, oh, that guy, is the comic guy.
Right. Yeah.
And that's sort of amazing. Like he was, a creator in his own right, but he was also sort of a marketing genius. He was someone that was talking about things like racial equality and sticking up for people and, you know, doing things that were right just because they were right. And he was talking about these things in the letters column in Spider-Man comics in the 60s.
Huh. Okay.
And that's kind of an amazing legacy to leave behind. So, definitely, personally affected by his work, but also I think the legacy is, just important and,
Definitely.
And worth a few minutes to just remember and to appreciate the,
yep.
the world that we live in now is very much a world that he created. So it's very cool.
Very, very cool indeed.
Yeah.
No, kind of love that. Very much love that. And we'll aspire to do something similar.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Indeed. My Hootable Flip is actually nothing really to do with... yes, it is entertainment, but it's not cinematic at all. It's simply the new Muse album,
yes.
Which a friend of mine gave me to download, and it's really good.
It's really good.
I do. It's that... It's funny, having gone to see 21 Pilots last weekend, they had a support act... whose name I now can't remember. and then they had AWOL Nation as well, who did the song Sail.
Mm.
It's a great song. But in order to kind of keep up with Imagine Dragons, the kind of lyrical part of that and the vocals that tend to bounce around that are impressive, they... Hang on a second, I lost my train of thought.
Muse.
Totally lost my train of thought there a second. Thank you. Imagine Dragons. That was it. It was AWOL Nation were trying to be kind of Imagine Dragons.
Mm, yes.
And I feel like Muse has lots of imitators, and then they'll release an album that doesn't actually sound like anything else currently out there.
Yeah.
But is a kind of nice continuation for what they've had before.
Yeah.
And so very cool. No, it's a hell of an album.
It's a hell of an album.
I've been listening to it on a repeat for the last few days, and it's kind of awesome.
It's a hell of an album, and I think it's funny. Like this is an area where I do have a little bit of a blind spot where it's like I like really enjoy music, but I don't geek out in it the same way that I do about other stuff.
Yeah,
and yet there are a handful of bands, Muse being one of them. Imagine Dragons being one of them where it's like, no matter what comes out, like, I'm going to jump in and listen to
that. Go and see what's happening.
And they have been one of those kind of breakout things for me where it's like, I'm paying attention now.
Yes, definitely.
And the new one is great. Their body of work is great.
Yep.
Very much one of those kind of like, what's this?
Let's
listen
to it. It's exciting.
It's great. Very exciting.
It's great.
So check that out. It's on, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere right now. Yeah. We're Spotify. We downloaded it actually, but
I'm Apple Musicing it.
Of course.
Yes, indeed.
Do you have the HomePod yet?
I do not have a HomePod yet. I'm thinking that might be a Christmas acquisition, we shall see. And then wrapping up, we do a little segment called hashtag make stuff.
Yes.
Where we like to spotlight something that someone else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this week I want to talk about, our friend, Sean Galloway, who goes by Cheeks.
Yes.
So we worked with him a little bit, in the past and hope that we get to do some more stuff with him in the future. But he has really, I just got to give a pretty, big shout out and moment of appreciation. Like he has really spent the last few years, like being dedicated to kind of building his own, kind of cottage industry around, making his own comic material and, under the banner of Table Taffy. Over the last few months now, they've been releasing, one of several of his original creations through the Webtoons platform.
Nice. Yep.
I think they're up to episode 9 on there. So I would definitely recommend checking that
out. Very nice.
His work is always fantastic. And he's got a lot of experience in animation and other things. And one of the things that I really appreciate about the way he has approached this is, the actual story is very much a kind of YA, even sometimes younger kind of audience or sort of a approach to the material, which may or may not be your cup of tea, but there's no questioning the quality of it.
Oh God, yes, it's amazing.
And he's, because of his experience in animation and other parts of the you know, kind of creative industry, he has approached his own kind of world of content creation kind of from that point of view or right. from that lens. And so not only do I recommend finding the finished product, but also, you know, his both on Facebook and on Instagram, he's pretty prolific in posting behind the scenes and process stuff. And it's a unique way of creating this stuff. And it does come very much influenced right. from the animation side of things, where, you know, he's put together a pretty fantastic creative team to build this stuff, but he approaches it kind of like the lead character designer or lead right. you know, kind of yes. creative director of these things. So there's character sheets and there's multiple versions of kind of how the pages are broken down and sort of, you know, very much how you would approach a production for animation.
That's interesting. Yes.
And so it is very cool to see like that process applied to comics in a way that, you know, is not generally the way that comics right. are made.
Right.
And so just, you know, again, amazing work, but also, you know, very, you know, kind of a unique point of view on how right. how to make this stuff, and also just the power of perseverance in like, hey, I'm gonna do my own thing. Like, this is a guy that could easily have gone the, you know, traditional, like, you know, he's got the talent and the audience to go, you know, do a bunch of stuff for Marvel or DC or anybody right. else, but has really chosen to go on his own and build his own thing. And love so, that. You know, we love that, and more power to him. So
yes,
Table Taffy, check yep. him out on Webtoons, check him out on social media.
And check us out.
Give him some love.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And we made some stickers together on iMessage.
God, about
so,
that.
You know,
that
download some iMessage stickers yes. as well.
yep. Yeah.
So you can find us all over social media.
At M2Action.
At M2Action.
Everywhere, basically.
We are furiously working on all this stuff. I've actually posted a lot this past week.
You
on
have
our
been.
Past Instagram, on our Instagram. So uh-huh. you can see lots of little sneak peeks of things we've been working on and post yes. for the all this yarn stuff. It's kind of funny if you look at our Instagram to go from like lots of art and animation and comic stuff to now lots of live action stuff as we've been kind of shifting gears into this world.
Yep.
Lots of fun. And then finally, a little shout out to our intro and outro
Indeed.
Music from our
Brandon.
Longtime composer,
Brandon Weisel. Yep, he was great.
So he's great, and thank you again for that intro and outro. And
great.
We will be back shortly with more.
Indeed, indeed.
Stay tuned.
Have a great week. If you're in America, have a lovely Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, that's right.
Or, you know, Natives Not Killing New Bees Day.
That yes. as well.
Yes.
Have some turkey.
Have some turkey.
Or some turducken yeah. if you're fortunate enough to be around
yes,
this guy.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
We will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.